appreciate the humble prayer offered. This morning upon my heart and mind, and I trust the Lord will, and I trust that it is of the Lord, and that the Lord will be pleased to bless us in the effort of endeavoring to try to preach His blessed word today. In John chapter 2 is the miracle of Cana. We mentioned this just briefly last Sunday, but the focus this morning upon what I would like to try to speak to you concerning is in the statement that Jesus' mother makes in verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. And in a short version of that, just do what Jesus says. Just do what Jesus says. Irregardless. No ifs, ands, or buts. No exclusions. Just do what Jesus says. Amen. Now, how do we know what Jesus says? We have it recorded in God's Word. Amen. We have His sayings. We have His commands. We have His teaching. We have His preaching. These are the things that Jesus says do and don't do. What Jesus says, whatsoever He saith unto you, do, do it. And of course here, it's having to do with the turning the water into wine, and for Mary saying to those servants, because she has told the Lord, they have no wine. Plain, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And of course we know that they did. What did Jesus say for them to do? Jesus said for them to pour water into the water pots, into those basins, those pots, those most likely cemented censers that were there and were probably used for washing feet and ceremonial bathing and so forth, which as the scriptures tell us concerning them in verse 6, that they contain 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Between 2 and 3 firkins, and which were about 9 gallons or so to each pot. But nevertheless, it would be several gallons, the 6 there. That's the ones that Jesus said to fill up. And of course, when they begin to draw then and to bear it into the governor of the feast, it was good wine. But the key here, the point here, is just do what Jesus says do. Brothers and sisters, our application is if we will just do what Jesus says to do, our lives will be less troublesome. Our lives will be less complicated. Our lives will be less burdensome. We'll have fewer ditches and potholes and situations and circumstances in our lives. We, through not doing and adhering to the admonitions and the teachings of God's Word, we bring a lot of troubles down on our own head. And we can avoid them. We can avoid them by just doing what Jesus said do. I don't want to dwell there a long time. I want to move on just a little bit, but I want to just give a couple of instances also before we get more to the heart and the meat of the message this morning. And when you turn over just a couple of pages into the fourth chapter, you're going to find where Jesus heals a nobleman's son. This nobleman, is a royal officer, if you please. This nobleman, and he comes to the Lord. He is also here in Cana, Capernaum. It says in verse 46 of John chapter 4. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose name, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Here is a man that has a desperate need. Here's a man that his son is at the point of death, and he has heard of the Lord Jesus, and he comes to the Lord asking and begging the Lord to help him and to save him, to heal him from this sickness. He's at the point of death. In verse 48 of John 4, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now notice what the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Come down, come back home with me, unless my child, or before my child dies. Jesus saith unto him in verse 50, go thy way, thy son liveth. What does Jesus say to this man? Jesus is not going to go home with him, but Jesus gives him a command. Jesus says, in other words, don't stay here with me. Don't tarry here. Don't keep asking for me to heal your son. It is time for you to go your way. Your son liveth. Now notice then what it says. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Now this man had not seen here on this occasion a sign or a wonder, as Jesus spoke of in verse 48. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But at the command of Jesus, Jesus told this man to go back home, that his son was alive. He had nothing of anyone sending him a telegraph or phoning him or sending him an email or anything like that. He just had confidence and trust in the Lord and did what the Lord Jesus said. You remember when they had told all night and had caught nothing and so forth, and Jesus told them to let down on the other side, and they told the Lord, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless at thy word, nevertheless at thy word, we will do this. So, and when they did what Jesus said, what happened? Oh, the nets were full of fish. When the Lord had said, let down the net, cast it on the other side. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. We hadn't caught anything. We've been fishing all night. But nevertheless, at thy word. This man had not saw a sign. This man did not see a miracle. He didn't get word that something had happened. He just acted upon what Jesus said. And he left and he went on his journey home. And the scripture says that the man believed the word. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, the time that his son began to get better. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Now this man must have traveled a distance. Because yesterday he began to get better yesterday. Now today is the seventh hour. It's on up in the day of this new day. With a quick calculation, that would have been 1 o'clock. For 7 hours from 6 a.m., the beginning of the day would be to 1 p.m. So it was after midday the next day, yesterday. So this man, he had been on his journey a good ways. And he asked, when did he get better? He believed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He had left when the Lord told him to leave and to go back home. When did he begin to amend? Now, listen to verse 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. So this man went in confidence and in trust at the command of Jesus. We have to put our confidence and trust into the sayings, into the commands, into what Jesus says do. We've got to trust the Lord with that, and trust the Lord with the results. Trust the Lord with and for the results. We're just to do what he says to do, and then the results will follow. Amen. The blessings, the help will follow if we, in a way of obedience here in this life and in time, we must not get discouraged. We must press on. We must keep our confidence and trust very strong in the Lord. There's other things that could be said along those lines. But let's just turn a couple of more pages over and look into John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we have where the Lord is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And after the Lord had come and all the things had happened and transpired and the conversations that had gone on, you Bible readers know the conversation that Jesus had with Mary and Martha and so forth here. And in verse 39, what does Jesus say? Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone." Now Martha has a little concern at what Jesus says to do. She was a little slow here. Not enough confidence, not enough trust in what the Lord was saying. This is her response. And I'm not faulting her any. I would have had the same response, no doubt. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, in verse 39, after Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone," she said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So many times we look at the natural laws. We look at the things from the prospects and the concerns along a natural sense of what would be occurring and what would be taking place and so forth, rather than having the confidence and the trust and the belief in just doing what Jesus says, that Jesus is the Lord over all things, and he can speak, and when he speaks, it is done. It doesn't matter that Lazarus was dead 4 days. It doesn't matter that by now he stinketh. The Lord is going to take care of all of that. We just need to do what Jesus says to do. Yeah. Amen. Don't make any excuses. Don't look to the left, to the right. Don't look at the adversities. Don't look from a natural perspective. But with an eye of faith and a mind of faith. Amen. Looking unto the Lord. Amen. Who is the Lord and the ruler? Who is the sovereign over all things and has all power? Oh, and can speak the word. And it is done. And accomplished. And we know and understand whenever Jesus said this, and then Jesus spoke and said for Lazarus to come forth. Lazarus come forth in verse 43. And what did Lazarus do? Now the only thing in this, Jesus said, y'all roll the stone away. Take the stone away. Now the Lord could have spoke the word and the stone could have rolled away. He didn't even have to speak the word. Amen. Just in his mind. Amen. He could have thought it. Amen. Said it in his mind. And the stone would have automatically rolled away. He has that power. But he told them something to do. He gave them something there to do. It wasn't in, it didn't have, rolling the stone away didn't have anything to do with Lazarus being raised from the dead. No, friend. Amen. But what it was going to do, though, after Jesus raised him from the dead and brought him forth, for him to come out of the mouth of that cave. The Bible says in verse 38 that it was a cave and that the stone was laid upon it. Now, then, whenever Lazarus came forth, what did the Lord say? The Lord said in verse 44 at the end, loose him and let him go. That was what the Lord said. The Lord said, loose him and let him go. And I believe that they did what the Lord said. Unbind the grave clothes. Unwrap the wrappings that he was wrapped up in, that he was bound in. You see, the Lord uses the gospel preaching and the gospel teaching, and God uses the function, amen, of the New Testament church in discipleship to help, amen, to remove grave clothes, amen, symbolically speaking, to teach God's people the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are his commands, his reproofs and corrections and instructions that come forth from God's word. God uses means. God uses the means of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, for saving his people in heaven and immortal glory. God uses means. God chose the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of, amen, preaching. God also has equipped the church with the gifts for the edifying, the upbuilding, the teaching, the instructing of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to continuously, amen, to help remove grave clothes, to continuously to wash one another's feet of the dust of walking here in a sin-polluted, sin-cursed world. We need a continuous reminding, a continuous stirring up of our pure mind, and focusing that we would do what Jesus says to do. Now, I want to, having brought those things before you, want to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Now that would kind of be the introduction this morning. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and focus here, starting in verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, start focusing with verse 24. Here we have the Lord's teaching on the two foundations. Two foundations. There's going to be one of two foundations that you build upon in your life. You know, from time to time in our life, we build upon each of those from time to time. You can't be building on the same one at the same time. But it is possible from time to time that we might be on one foundation that we built for circumstances and situations. And there's times that we might be on the other foundation that is discussed here. But the premise and the teaching is for us to have this one foundation for the whole of our life as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know and understand it in verse 13 and 14, before the Lord gets to this about the two foundations, he gives the teaching, he gives the saying, he gives the commands in verse 13 and 14 concerning the straight gate. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight gate here. And this word straight here is not in the sense that sometimes you might think of as far as a straight line or a crooked line. But the word straight here is narrow. A straight, a narrow opening, a narrow passage, a narrow way. That's the usage of this. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The works of the flesh, the works of darkness, the works of the children of darkness, and sometimes God's children act like and will produce the works of the flesh to our discredit, to our shame, to our reproach, and certainly which is displeasing unto the Lord. But it is those that walk in darkness in the symbolical language, metaphorically, that walk in darkness, walk and in fulfilling the lust of the flesh, walk and live in that broad way. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. How often does the broad way lead to destruction? How often does it? Every time. Every time. It's not 99%, but 100% of the time, walking in the broad way will lead to destruction. And this has nothing to do with the hereafter. This has nothing to do, amen, with an everlasting destruction, an everlasting torment or hell. It's not talking about that. Amen. It's talking about a destruction here in this life. Amen. And what is in mind here, amen, in this teaching, it's for God's children. This is for God's disciples. This is for learners. This is for followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is warning. This is the sayings of the Lord to admonish and to warn against getting and being on the broad way. Yeah. Oh, it's a broad way because there's many walking it. There's many upon it. Oh, and it's also it's a broad way because it doesn't have the constraints. You can be on this broad way with little or no effort. Amen. You can get in this broad way with little or no effort to get on it. I want to tell you though, it's an effort, and it's a conscientious effort, and it is a conscientious determining by the help and grace of God to enter in at the straight gate and to be in that narrow way. Verse 14 tells us, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's many on the broad way, but there's few that find and walk in the narrow way, in the narrow path. It is a constrictive path. Amen. It is a narrow path. And therefore you have to walk it tediously. You have to walk it with effort. You have to walk it with the light of the Lord shining upon it and listening to what Jesus says and doing what Jesus says. In the flesh and in the lust of the flesh and mind in the this old carnal nature, you just stumble around and being the broad way, it's wide, and you just stumble around and veer and swerve all over it. I tell you, you're gonna have to be awake, and you're gonna have to be alert. And you can't be intoxicated with the things of this world and the influences of this world. You can't be weaving and swerving and just stumbling about. It's going to have to be with precision. Amen. It's going to have to be fine-tuned, brothers and sisters, in order to walk in this narrow way, in this straight, amen, get entered in that straight gate. That's what's pleasing unto the Lord. Now, I want you to notice in verse 24, now, before we go there, I told you in verse 13, when it talked about the destruction, it wasn't the everlasting destruction. It's talking about destruction here in this life. And so it is in verse 14 when it says, which leadeth on to life. That's the abundant life in obedience to God. Now, no one will be able to live the abundant life if you don't have eternal life within you. You first got to have eternal life within you in order to live, amen, to the fulfilling, to enjoy the abundant life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, to enjoy life, enjoy it in the Lord. Amen. How will we do that? By keeping his sayings, to do whatsoever Jesus saith do. Do it. Amen. And do it with all, amen, of your mind, your heart, your strength. Amen. And do it with gladness. Amen. Do it with thanksgiving. Do it with appreciation. Do it with thankfulness unto the Lord. To be thankful and appreciative unto our blessed Lord and Savior. Now, verse 24 is going, in the very beginning of this, is going to reemphasize the very emphasis of expression that I'm using. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. All right, here we are. When he's introducing this about the two foundations, amen, in life that you can build upon, talking about whether you'll have destruction or whether you'll have abundant life, has to do with the two foundations. Each one of these foundations, amen, correlate and are in sync with these two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. Amen. And the foundation upon sand, or the foundation upon the rock. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. These sayings. Amen. You know, Jesus said a lot of times, I say unto you. I say unto you. This is his commands. Amen. When he heareth these sayings, heareth these commands. Now, we can't hear the Lord with an audible voice, because he's not here in that form. He's not here in that position, if you please, to hear with the audible voice. But from without unto, that come in through these physical ears. But we do need spiritual ears, amen, to hear his voice within. Amen. To have the to feel the impression, the stirring, the motivation, the moving as we look to the Word of God. The scriptures are sufficient unto us. The scriptures are the sayings of Jesus to us. The scriptures are the sayings of Jesus to us. Jesus was there, person to person with them. And he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And I will say to you this morning, whosoever of you heareth the sayings of the scriptures. The scriptures speak. When we read them, when I read them out loud to you, or you read them out loud, or you read them in your mind, you're looking at them. When you think upon them, when you meditate upon them, that's Jesus speaking to you. That's Jesus. When we read the things that he said, when we read these things, when we read his commandments, when we read that he has set forth and established for his disciples. That's what we're talking about this morning. So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. We're not only to be a hearer of the word, but we're to be a doer of the work. Amen. We're to be a doer of the work. The scripture will instruct you in the work that you're to do as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the work. Doer of the work that the word of God instructs us to do or to abstain from. To keep ourselves from. Not to get caught up in. That's very, very important. So as Jesus goes into this now, and he's about to give us the first. Jesus says that the ones that hear his sayings and doeth them does the work. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Or the rock, not just any rock, but the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand a rock, that which is large, that which is solid. We can acquaint that now with foundation of houses and structures. We can acquaint that with the concrete that's poured in the footings or in the pillars. The cement blocks, that's the foundation. We know and understand you've got to have a good foundation. You've got to have a solid foundation. That's the key right there. Word is solid. Rock solid. You ever heard that expression? Here something is rock solid. Oh yeah. Why? Many, many years ago, decades ago, when the folks went to prison and they sentenced them to the chain gang, where they were chained and connected together, and they used a pick and a hammer and they worked on a rock pile. That was a severe punishment. That was a deterrent because folks didn't want to work on a rock pile. Why do you not want to work on a rock pile? Because it's hard, deliberate labor, and it's hard to break it down. So you see, this is what Jesus is saying, and when he's teaching this, he's teaching that our life must have a rock solid, good foundation under it. Amen. And what is the rock solid, good foundation? Well, for our feet. For our life to be stationed upon. Amen. The rock Jesus Christ. And how is it the rock Jesus Christ? Amen. To listen to his sayings and to do them. Amen. To adhere unto them. And what did the Lord say? I will liken him unto a wise man. This is a wise individual. Oh, brothers and sisters, amen, if we want to be wise, Amen. God's word is our instruction. God's word, amen, is our teacher. God's word has the wisdom in it. And if we lack that, let us ask of God, who giveth liberally, who will bless us with that as we study God's word, as we pray and meditate upon it, and use that wisdom in our lives. And if we build our lives rock solid, founded upon the rock Jesus Christ, we're considered wise. We're considered wise. That is a wise thing. That is the way that it ought to be. Now, what did Jesus say about this then, concerning the circumstances and situations and the things happening in life, the things that comes along, all of the different chapters in life, the different things that you will encounter, the things, the pressures from society. I tell you there, it says, and the rain descended and the floods came. Peer pressure in this life to try to get you to fold over. Everybody's doing it. Come on and do this. Just come on and do that. Everybody else is doing it. Hey, listen, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ aren't supposed to do what they are emphasizing that you ought to do. Amen. We're to do what Jesus said. And we're to not do what Jesus said for us not to do and engage in. So there's a lot of rainstorms that will descend and floods that will come. Oh, that's why we need the solid rock, the rock hard, solid rock foundation to build upon. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It had a good foundation on it. Jesus is giving the allegory. He's giving a metaphor here. He's speaking in symbolic language. He's taking a natural thing to teach a spiritual lesson. And that's what Jesus did and used many times. He took spiritual, natural understanding to teach spiritual applications. Things that folks understood about in a natural sense. So then to make a spiritual application. If we want our house of life to stand and to have the abundant life, to have a fruitful life in the spirit and in the ways and things of the Lord, then we've got to build upon the sayings of Jesus Christ. We've got to do what Jesus says do. You know, I guess it's been some time ago. Tried to preach a few discourses on the church coming together. And I said many things and approached it from a lot of different angles. Amen. But always think about Brother Max, and the way he gave the summation of it was, you got to be there. Yeah. Amen. You know, I think I tried to preach two Sundays on it, and in one sentence he got it out, you know. You just got to be there. Well, this is in a few words. Just do it. Yeah. Amen. Just do it. Just do what Jesus said do. Right. Amen. We're going to be the better for it every time. Right. Amen. There's no substitute. Amen. For that. Oh, why do we invite trouble? Why do we invite problems? And oh, like I've told you many times, if I'm pointing at you, I've got these all pointing right back at me. I preach to myself more than I preach to anyone else, I think. But nevertheless, that's all right. The point is, we're all contaminated with this polluted sin nature. And we have to be reminded and have to have our pure mind stirred up. And we have to be reminded of the sayings of Jesus Christ. And that it is better just to do what Jesus said do. Yeah. And just save ourselves a lot of trouble. Oh, I hope that sinks in. See, that's the same. That's in the same context that Peter says to them on the day of Pentecost. When he says to them, he exhorted them, and with many other words, the Bible says that he said unto them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Well, that perverted, crooked generation, that generation that was against Christ, that generation that was perverted and was in contrast, was against, they were antichrist. Peter says to those Jews listening to him there on that day, he says to them, save yourself. Had nothing to do whatsoever with heaven and immortal glory. Had nothing to, anything to do, amen, with the salvation that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter said, save yourself. How would they save themselves? Amen. By turning from that generation. By not going along with that generation. By not doing what that generation said do. Not having the attitude that that generation had. Amen. But in obedience, that they would turn from them and they would come over, amen, to the sayings of Christ, that they would obey the command and be baptized by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and submit themselves unto the apostles' doctrine. We know there it says, speaking of those that were converted and were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continue steadfastly, and in continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which was the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, what were they doing? They were building their lives then upon the rock, the Lord Jesus. And they were no longer on the shifting, sinking sand. They were no longer on that broad way. They were no longer being identified with that generation that was going to be destroyed. Amen. Part of that in a temporal sense. Oh, but they would have the teachings of Christ about fleeing from Jerusalem when they would see the signs of AD 70 coming upon them, and that they would flee and get into the mountains, and they wouldn't go through with all of the things that those that were in Jerusalem, and especially for those 6 months that they were besieged by that Roman army, and all hell broke loose in the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and that which came upon that perverted generation. Oh, but those that came away and turned aside from that perverted generation, there was a saving, there was a salvation for them. Yeah. Right here in time, right here in this life. Oh, and it was through the path of obedience. It was through the path of doing what Jesus said. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, yeah, doeth them, just do it. Amen. Just do it. Just do what Jesus said, do. Oh, it was founded upon a rock. Listen to verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Hear the sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Oh, we don't want to build upon the sand. No. This symbolic language, this metaphor, this allegory, this symbolic language. We don't want to build upon that which will crumble when the rains come and the flood comes and will wash it out. You see, the sand washes when the tide comes in and when the hurricanes come in, and you have those swells that come in and it rushes and pushes the sand up on the shore. You know, they had to build great engines to be able to pump that sand back out. In order trying to save the beaches and things, because that sand shifted. It moved around with the water. It moved around with the natural occurrences. If we're not doing what Jesus says, our lives are just going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to be tossed like the tempest upon the sea. We won't have the comfort. We won't have the consolation. We won't have the peace. that we could have if we would do, if we would keep the sayings, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knows best. The Lord knows what's best for His children, and the Lord will always do that which is best, amen, for His children. Oh, you can be very confident of that fact, that our Heavenly Father, He is a very able Heavenly Father. Oh, there's no comparison with our earthly father as far as the ableness. Our earthly father has great intentions and put forth every effort for the watch care and for the help of their children in this life. But sometimes, in spite of everything, in spite of all of the tryings and the efforts of an earthly father may fail. And it may even be because of circumstances and situations that was really out of his hands. Oh, but I want to tell you, I'm glad that there's never a circumstance, there's never a situation that is out of the hands of our Heavenly Father, that our Heavenly Father is not able to take care of, that our Heavenly Father is not able to watch over us and to care for us and to protect us. Oh, if we will surrender ourselves and humble ourselves under the mighty, mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Amen. This is for our benefit while we live right here in this life. It's for our benefit while we live here on the shores of time. Oh, but every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. See the contrast between building on the rock and building on the sand. Building on that which is rock solid and building on that which is shifting and moving. And when all of the things can toss it about. Oh, the contrast is wise and foolish. The Bible talks to us all through this Bible about wise and foolish.
Yeah.
It certainly does. Amen. And you Bible readers, you know that it does. And oh, how important that it is to make ourselves familiar with the sayings of Jesus, to make ourselves familiar with the Scriptures. Oh, that we will know them and to hear them and to embrace them and to love them and to cherish them and even to esteem them more than our necessary food. Oh, yes. Amen. For they are food unto us, spiritual food, nourishment and help and strength unto us, even more so than natural bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
We all like to eat. We have to try not to eat too much. Amen. I want to tell you, you've got to try to eat enough, amen, of the bread of the Scripture. You've got to try to eat it. You've got to put forth an effort to, amen, to eat it. Or there'll be every hindrance. There'll be everything to come along, every distraction. That's the work of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Oh, but what we've got to do, amen, to overcome that and subdue that by the grace and mercy and help and calling upon the Lord and continuously to put forth that effort. Notice what it says, and the rain descended and the floods came in verse 27. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. We're talking about the one now that's built on the sand. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Oh, I tell you, there's been a many so-called great men that have had great falls here in life. They weren't great in the Lord. They were great in the natural, and man had looked to them and esteemed them greatly. I want to tell you, the Philistines thought they had a great man. Oh yeah, your children remember that, don't you? Oh, that Philistine, that giant, that great man of stature, and that they esteemed and was a mighty warrior. His focus, his attention was upon his structure and upon his height and upon his ability. and that he had been a man of war from his youth, from his child up and so forth. He was a trained warrior. All of his trust and all the trust of the Philistines was in a natural sense and upon natural ability. It was on sand.
Yeah.
Amen, but there was a little shepherd boy named David. Not much to look at. Oh, despise not the day of small things. Little as much when God is in it. We labor not for wealth or fame. Our labor, amen, is laboring in God's word. And then there's the benefits and the abundant life and the blessings that God bestows and gives. Amen, because of the obedience, because God has obligated himself unto his word that he will do certain things based upon us doing certain things. Amen. Now, that's conditionalism. Amen. It's temporal conditionalism. You brothers and sisters know that I preach unconditional for heaven and mortal glory just as strong as anybody. Amen. But you remember what we brought last Sunday, and remember about that first covenant God used here in time and dealing with a man, the very first man, the very crown jewel of his creation, amen, which was Adam. It was a conditional covenant that Adam would have the benefits and the blessings of that garden as long as he dressed it and kept it. Amen. But when he ceased to keep it and dress it, and in one way that he would cease to keep it and dress it, was through a way of disobedience, of eating of a tree in the midst of it, of the knowledge, of knowing and discerning between good and evil, to eat of that tree. He'd no longer be keeping and dressing. He'd no longer be keeping the covenant. It was a work covenant. It was a conditional covenant. Now, I don't know how you can get anything else out of that. Amen. And I want to tell you, in a temporal sense, this Bible is full of condition. It's full of ifs and buts. But you remember, for eternity, there's no such thing as an if and a but. Amen. It's all conditioned on God and what God has done. That's the difference. Amen. But the vast majority of God's people don't understand that. They don't understand the difference there. They want to take all of the things the Bible talks about in the temporal sense and assign them an eternal application, and then therefore call upon men, women, boys, and girls to jump through all the hoops and jump the ropes and to do all of the things that they bring out that have to do with discipleship and don't have one thing to do with sonship. Amen. I'll say amen to that. I want to tell you, amen, there's a big difference between sonship and discipleship. Now, you can't be a disciple unless you're a son. Amen. You'll never be a disciple unless you're a son. But there's a lot of sons, and that's male or female. Amen. Talking about God's children. All that are not disciples. And many different levels and degrees. Oh, but Jesus talked about being a disciple indeed. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be a full commitment, wouldn't it? That'd be a wholeheartedness to doing and keeping the sayings of Christ. Oh, and to look into this and to have the light and the revelation and to walk in the light as he is in the light. And as the light shines upon our path, that we use that understanding that the Lord has given us. So there's little David, the shepherd boy. He's small, but he's on the rock. Amen. He knows where his trust and his faith and confidence is in. He knows, amen, what's worked in the past. Amen. Being on that rock where the Lord has given him the victory, where the Lord's given him the deliverance. And when there was some rain and a storm come up, and Saul even tried to divert him and to sway him and to get him out of the narrow way, unknowingly, Saul doing this, not knowing Maybe exactly what I believe Saul was trying to benefit him.
Yes.
By giving him his armor. Well, if you have a mind to go out there, in other words, you need to put this armor on. But it didn't fit David. And it was uncomfortable. And it just wasn't right. And he hadn't used it. Matter of fact, the Bible language was he refused it because he said he hadn't proved it. He hadn't tried it out. He hadn't proved it. But what had he proved? He had proved that slingshot and the stones by the power of God, and that God had blessed him, and God had delivered, amen, the sheep out of the lion and the bear's mouths, amen, through David being established upon the Lord and his walking with him and so forth there. And but that giant, remember, he was a great, great man in the eyes of men. In the eyes of men, David was small. His brothers even rebuked him. Oh yeah, we know what you've come down here for. You just come down here to see and to be nosy. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's exactly what it means. That's what they were talking about. You come down here just see what's going on. The old father sent me down here to see how it was going and to bring these cheese and different things for the captains and so forth. I've come on a mission. Oh no, you just come down here to put your nose in it. He was small and Rudy. His brethren didn't have much for him. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord was with him. And of course, when that great big giant of a man who was built on the sand, on shifting works of the flesh, all of that, when he came out there cursing God, cursing the God of Israel, and saying, "Send me out a man. Whoever slays the other, whoever wins this battle, the loser will be servants to the other army." In other words, if David won, the Philistines would be the servants to Israel. If the Philistines won, they would have Israel. But you know, David came out there and met Goliath and had those five smooth stones. David told him, said, "You're coming against me with sword and shield and so forth." And said, "But I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of Israel." And David started running and slinging that stone and slung it. And by the direct spirit of God, the power of God, God directed that stone. And it hit the giant in the forehead where he didn't have any armor on. And that giant fell down upon his face. Fell down. That giant. Great was the fall because he was on the shifting, seeking sand. Great is the fall. Oh, that we'll have in our lives. Oh, when we're not putting on the whole armor of God and the fiery darts of Satan are coming and the rains and the storms of this life are coming. And we're not prepared for it because we hadn't been wise. Oh, and we're going to falter. We're going to fail. And we're going to incur and reap those things that we have sown by building upon the sand. Because as the scripture teaches us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh, that's walking on the broad way. That's walking on the broad way. He that soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. Jesus said in that broad way that it would lead to destruction. Destruction and reaping corruption is one and the same. It's one and the same. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. That's the same life that Jesus was talking about of entering in at the straight gate and being in the narrow way.
Yeah.
That's the same life right there. Amen. So it's through a way of obedience. It's through a way of effort. It's through a way of walking in the light. It's through a way of adhering to the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, time's come and gone. And so we'll just stop there. Because the next place I turn, it would need about 15 minutes. And then the next place that I'm thinking about turning to would be another 15 minutes. That'd be 30 minutes. So we'll just stop. Lord willing, there'll be another time. And same place. All right, we love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Owe no man nothing but love. I owe you love. Amen, in the Lord, to treat you right. And that would surmise and fulfill, amen, the law. Oh, I tell you, the subject of God's word and the principles taught therein, they're boundless. And they just continue on and on. This is why the Lord in His wisdom, in His greatness, amen, set up the structure of the gospel church. Amen, and set up for us, amen, to come at least once a day, once a week, on the first day of the week. God bless you is my prayer. All right, let's stand together, select a song.